This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman. It can be difficult to unify the U.S. beef and cattle industry, but President Trump accomplished that yesterday. On Truth Social, Trump said cattle ranchers need to understand the only reason they have done so well is due to the tariffs he placed on cattle coming into the United States. He went on to say it would be nice if ranchers understood that they need to get their prices down because he's also focused on consumers. Trump went on with a following post saying he saved the American cattle industry with his tariffs.
The response has been quick from the U.S. cattle industry. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association said its members cannot stand behind the president while he undercuts the future of family farmers and ranchers by importing Argentinian beef. North Dakota Stockmen's Association President Randy Schmidt is asking Trump to back away from his plan because it risks damaging the livelihood of American ranchers. The White House plan would feature a purchase of 800,000 metric tons of Argentinian beef, quadruple the existing tariff quota. U.S. Cattlemen's Association President Justin Topper said this threat directly harms American producers, and his group is opposed to this government intervention. North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney said the administration is making a huge mistake.
Ranchers really don't deserve to have this crap going on from D.C.
Watney sees a lack of understanding about these issues from the White House.
The administration is making a huge mistake here. The cattle ranchers are finally getting a fair price for what they deserve. They've paid way too much. They've had many years of losses, and now we're seeing some results where they're getting paid an honest thing for the work they do. I think it's really sad that the administration thinks the solution is to go find more beef elsewhere than trying to figure out a way to invest in our ranchers and make our ranchers able to expand the herd, grow the herd, and provide better quality U.S.-grown food for our country.
Republican lawmakers from major cattle-producing states, including North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Colorado, Kansas, Minnesota, and Texas, are urging President Trump to give U.S. beef producers an opportunity to meet increased demand. Led by South Dakota Representative Dusty Johnson, the group says American beef is the world's highest quality beef and should not be replaced by imports. The push follows President Trump's recent call on Truth Social for lowering beef prices and reports of increased imports from Argentina.
With all the drama over imports of Argentine beef, USDA unveiling a plan to strengthen the American beef industry. This comprehensive plan includes the streamlining and expansion of grazing on federal lands, new standards to deal with wolves and other predators, new risk protection tools, and country of origin labeling. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said this plan will incentivize new ranchers to enter the business.
In a statement, House Agriculture Committee ranking member Angie Craig says she's glad the administration is reopening the Farm Service Agency offices after a 21-day shutdown, but questions the delay in making the decision. Craig says the partial reopening is a step in the right direction, but she's urging the administration to use the SNAP contingency fund to ensure benefits for seniors, children, and veterans are provided in November.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz says the current farm economy pushing many producers to the brink, and he's calling for federal action to stabilize trade and strengthen domestic markets.
We're seeing, you know, loan defaults and bankruptcies up. We're seeing calls to, you know, some of our helplines are way up, and I'm asking people, you know, take care of one another. But we got to get a way out of this. We're asking, you know, to figure out something on these trade deals, and I'm also pushing here that what we can do to create domestic markets. Our producers have done that year-round biodiesel, enhancement of sustainable aviation fuel, trying to open new markets where we can, you know. I mean, the irony of this is that we're probably going to have record crops. We've, you know, been able to do that. We've had some pretty good weather for it. But you got to have a place to sell them, and the price has to be there.
Walz says part of the solution, more collaboration to reduce political division and strengthen support for rural communities.
I'm worried about this thing, Jamie, that we divide ourselves, especially geographically. I'm a geographer at heart. This idea of the urban-rural split is very, very dangerous. And that shoe goes onto both feet. And the problem we've got right now is that I'm hearing way too many people be flippantly cruel in saying, well, farm country knew what they were getting into, let them have it. That is both, in my opinion, immoral. It's also very short-sighted because we're all going to need them to eat. And I tell people this. These folks created the markets. We didn't create them. They did their checkup programs. They created these markets, and now we've lost that market. From the number one supplier to China to now selling no beans, Brazil's taken over that, and they're not going back.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The Brookings AEI Commission on Rural Prosperity will be in Monoman this afternoon for a field hearing. The first hearing was held yesterday at Grand Farm near Fargo. Former North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp co-chairs this commission with former Republican Governor Chris Sununu of New Hampshire. Heitkamp told the Red River Farm Network it is time for fresh ideas to strengthen rural America.
But also draw on a great panel like we just heard to say, okay, what keeps you up at night? What are you worried about? What should we be thinking about in a, as hopefully a significant advisor for rural policy in a couple years? So our plan is to issue a report at the end of this three-year. Governor Sununu and I are doing this together, and we're really hopeful that it can drive a broader dialogue beyond just checking the boxes and doing what we've always done.
This is a time of great division within U.S. politics. To move beyond that, Heitkamp said it is important to focus on the facts and deal with the real decision makers.
Sure, there's going to be very partisan people on both sides of a small town rural commission, but they're going to try and figure out how to get the dogs to stop barking and how to get rid of the trash. And, you know, we're going to that level where you take it down to people who actually have to make the investment decisions, people who are confronted with the challenges today. And I think once you become problem focused and not who's a good guy and who's a bad guy focused, you're going to get a lot more done.
North Dakota State Representative Jared Haggard spoke about government investments in rural communities at the Rural Prosperity Field Hearing. Haggard says these are not partisan issues.
Even in North Dakota, you know, it's hugely different how you define rural. You think about the Rural Transformation Committee, a Health Transformation Committee that's just been meeting to decide how to allocate dollars. That's the whole state is considered rural. But if you look at census data and how they define it, it's not. So I think, you know, like as we move forward, we need to have a better base of what is and what isn't rural.
The United States placed sanctions on Russia's two largest oil companies after a planned meeting between President Trump and President Putin fell through. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer Josh Linville is saying this puts the fertilizer industry on notice. Russia is the number one supplier of urea and UAN to the United States, number two for potash.
In the latest edition of the NDSU Crop and Pest Report, results from the 2025 Integrated Pest Management Survey providing important insights into pest and disease pressures in the U.S. wheat crop. Late season diverse prevalence data indicating that overall disease levels in 2025 were similar to those in 2024, with fewer reports of Fusarium head blight, tan spot, but an increase in bacterial leaf streak. Leaf rust, stripe rust, and stem rust were minimal, with only one field showing leaf rust very late in the season. According to survey data and discussions with ag professionals, Fusarium head blight and bacterial leaf streak remaining the top diseases of concern for wheat producers.
The Bayer Commercial Soybean Production Facility in West Fargo began as a canola and sunflower plant owned by Interstate Seed. It was acquired by Monsanto in 2009 and converted to soybean seed processing. Now a Bayer company, the plant packages 2.8 million units or bags of soybean seed each year. Unit lead Josie Sandinani said this facility serves the growing demand for soybeans in the northern plains and the upper Midwest.
And the growth of soybeans in the last probably 10 years has been increased, especially in those early maturities that we work with the double zero maturities and even the early zero, say, nines or the 1.0. They kind of been creeping a little bit farther to Canada as much as in the last 3 years, but also all west, right? The product return has kind of been higher and higher in the soybeans. So we're kind of centralizing location where we can ship it and still make it back and forth in time to meet the demand.
The first soybeans from the 2025 growing season are coming through the West Fargo plant.
So this year so far, we've been seeing really good quality coming in through our facility. And what I like to kind of turn around to is we make sure that every single bean that comes here meets the quality that's necessary before we're even thinking about bringing it to the site. So for the most part, every single bean that comes here, it's meeting the quality that we're looking for. But look at overall, this year is making the job very easy for us to pick because we have in good quality soybeans out there this year so far.
Asgrow hosted Ag Reporters at their site yesterday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. High input costs mean many farmers will have to tighten the purse strings heading into the winter months. Farm management analyst Ken Tesey says higher commodities prices would help offset rising production costs, but it isn't looking like that will happen anytime soon.
The hard thing as we look ahead to next year beyond the rental rates is just the input costs in many areas. Looks like fertilizer costs are going to be up anywhere from 15 to 25% in a lot of areas, depending on your fertility program. Seed costs look like they're going to be up, and ongoing costs such as overhead costs, machinery costs are high, repair costs are high. So cost of production keeps edging up, and the price, it'd be nice to look out and say, hey, by next year, it looks like we got some improvement in prices, but the situation we're in right now, we just don't see that.
TC says the Northern Plains are seeing some of the worst basis levels in decades.
When we talk price, it isn't just Chicago Board of Trade price, it's the basis levels. And we've seen some of the widest basis levels we've seen in over a decade in many areas, especially in western Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, where they rely on rail line and, you know, the tariffs and the lack of ability to ship grain to China and other Asian countries is really affecting that basis level this fall.
Despite tighter beef supplies and rising retail prices, consumer demand for beef hit a 40-year high this year. Certified Angus beef capitalized on the strong market, selling 1.2 billion pounds globally, one of the brand's best years ever. CAB President John Stitka credited the brand's success to the dedication and innovation of the beef community. The brand saw record-setting sales in March, its all-time best month, with strong follow-ups in April, May, and November, marking 2025 as CAB's third best year overall.
U.S. ethanol production increasing last week, averaging 1.11 million barrels per day, according to the Energy Information Administration. That's up 38,000 barrels from the previous week and nearly 3% higher than the same week last year. Midwest ethanol output averaging just over 1.05 million barrels per day, also up slightly from last week. Meanwhile, U.S. ethanol blending activity declined slightly to 911,000 barrels per day, down 1% from a year ago.
Checking those markets as we speak, we are a penny higher for Minneapolis wheat. That December contract at 548 and three quarters. Chicago wheat December 1 1/4 higher, and hard red winter wheat same contract 2 3/4 better. December corn 1 3/4 higher, 424 3/4. November soybeans, it's a 4 cent bump, 1038 3/4. The current quote. Checking in on the farm calendar, it's the National FFA Convention next week, Wednesday through Saturday in Indianapolis. The Red River Farm Network will be there, and we'll have extensive coverage. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.